Yeah.
Hello, hello. Welcome everyone to another episode of the Lavender Fix podcast. As you know, the Lavender Fix was launched with this vision of, you know, bringing stories of perseverance from real people with real experiences to the forefront and not limiting it to, you know, the celebrity culture or only showcasing stories of celebrities or other influencers. And for those of you who don't already know this, the word lavender in the Lavender Fix represents the optimistic beginning of new stages in life, driven by personal experiences, of course. And that's exactly what we're all about. For today's episode, I have with me Sydney Wimeth, a New York-based social media and creative strategist who manages the digital footprint of award-winning personalities like Daymond John and Catherine Zeta-Jones, as well as countless brands ranging from skincare to hospitality. In the September of 2018, Sydney woke up in her New York apartment one morning. And as she saw herself in the mirror right across from her bed, she noticed a white spot on her head. Assuming it was maybe because of the way the light was hitting her from a certain angle, she dismissed it at first, only to be diagnosed with alopecia much later. What is alopecia? Alopecia is a skin disorder that causes hair loss, usually in patches, most often on the scalp. The condition develops when the immune system attacks the hair follicles, resulting in hair loss. Goes without saying that losing a part of yourself like that can cause severe emotional distress, which oftentimes can be incredibly hard to manage. According to the New York Times, over 6 million people in the United States have the condition. So, what happened next for Sydney? Let's find out and learn from her resiliency. Hi, Sydney. I am so, so very excited to have you here today. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you feeling today?
Hi, I'm good. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yay! Excited. Like I was saying to you the other day when we were catching up about this episode, you're genuinely the most funny person I know. And I found you on my Explore feed once on Instagram, and I was like, okay, I can't get enough of her. She's ridiculously funny. And I remember DMing my friends with some of your videos, and they were like, oh my God, she's so cute. Right? Like,
no,
how is this possible?
If I'm the funniest person that you know, then I really need to send you a full list of people to follow because I should not be one of them.
You are very funny. I've put my foot down on that one.
Weird in my world is funny in yours, so I'll take it.
All right. So again, Sydney, big thank you for agreeing to do this. I know that it's not always easy to just sort of relive some of those moments and talk about what happened. But I hope that this is a therapeutic session for you as well. And I hope that others who may be going through something similar seek inspiration from your story. So I will start with my first question, which is, in one of your IGTV videos, you talked about, you know, this episode where you woke up one morning and there's a mirror right across from your bed, and you noticed that there was a little bald spot on your head, and you immediately sort of, in a way, went into denial, and you were like, no, it has to be the light hitting me at a certain angle. It can't be. Only to realize that you were, in fact, missing a thick patch off your hair that morning. So what was that like, and what was going through your mind in that moment?
Yeah, it was definitely a sudden change. My hair, I swear the night before, there was nothing wrong. Everything seemed normal. But then I woke up that morning, I stared right across from me, and I just saw this weird spot in my head, and I'm just like, something's wrong. So, you know, I had at the time two cats, one which is extremely heavy. And I just assumed that he had stepped on my head and tore a few hairs out. But I didn't see like a clump of hair on my pillow. So I ran over to my mirror and I took a closer look, and I could just immediately tell that this just wasn't normal by any means. So, you know, like most people do when anything goes somewhat wrong in your life, they call their mom. So I
Absolutely.
FaceTimed my mom right away. I just showed her, and I was just like, I have no idea what's going on here. This wasn't like this last night. You know, and she's just like, don't worry, like we'll figure it out. Maybe it's just a quick little fluke. And I'm like, okay. So I didn't think that it was going to become as intense as it was.
Right.
But like I said, this had never happened to me before. I've always grown up with really thick, long hair. So at the moment, I really didn't know what to think. But like I said, I just knew something was definitely wrong.
Yeah. And right. So then what happened next once you realized that, okay, something is definitely amiss, because you said that, you know, you've always been sort of known for your thick, luscious hair, and very healthy hair, I must say, you know. So did you, one, I, from my experience, every time I figured that, okay, something's wrong, I would jump on the web, Google. Worst idea ever, and I would start researching, you know, frantically. And so, what happened with you in that moment? And then also, did you take any steps to stop the condition from progressing at home?
Sure. Yeah. So, like you said, Google became my best friend and my worst enemy. When you search hair loss on Google, the amount of things that pop up will scare you, especially if you don't, like I didn't, have an idea of the specific type of hair loss you were going through. I will say I'm proud I didn't go onto WebMD and figure out what was wrong with me, because I can't imagine the results I would have gotten there. So once I realized I wasn't going to get my answers from just a simple Google search, I just kind of took matters into my own hand, and I went to the local CVS. I grabbed some Rogaine and anything that basically said hair regrowth. I have no idea what I grabbed. I kind of just took a basket full of products and just shoved them in there.
Wow.
But you know, I was pretty consistent with my routine, but nothing really seemed to help, and the loss just continued to rapidly grow, and the spot just got bigger and bigger. So I was like, okay, something's wrong. Whatever these over-the-counter products are, not helping at all. So I tried to turn off the more anxious part of my brain. I mean, I'm a very anxious person as it is. So when you throw this into the mix,
Right.
a lot goes through your head. So I kind of took a moment, I calmed down, and I just did now a doctor search. I live in the city, like you mentioned, so we do have a lot of doctors and resources there. So I didn't have a primary care physician at the time. My insurance only covered so many doctors, which I would soon find out. You know, this is, I had only just recently gotten off my parents' insurance. So, you know, I was a little naive in that area. So that started my extremely disheartening journey of finding doctors, going to appointments, finding out my insurance wasn't accepted. And I just repeated this for maybe a month and a half of just walking in. This is also during like the end of the summer, where the city is just blazing hot, and I'm running around to different offices. I'm trying to get these appointments in the middle of the day and get back into my office in time, and I'm just sweating. So as soon as I show up to the doctor's appointments, they're like, oh, we can't take your insurance. And I'm like, that's great. I'm about to have a mental breakdown in your office, if that's okay. So when it was time to see one doctor who was finally accepting my insurance, it was a pretty, I hate to use the word traumatic experience, but it was just even more disheartening to the journey I was already on. I sat down, he took one look at my head, barely listened to my symptoms, and just grabbed my head, looked at it, goes, alopecia, kind of shoves my head back, takes a few
What?
shots, shoves them in my scalp, and then just wishes me on my way. And he's like, just make another appointment. And I'm like, I have no idea what just happened, but I'm extremely confused. And it was just hard because I had so many feelings and emotions and confusion at the time. And you go to doctors and you expect them to have answers or at least have empathy for what you're going through.
Absolutely.
And it was just like very transactional to him. So that kind of set me back.
Very impersonal.
Yes, exactly. Impersonal is a huge word for it. So that one just, added to everything. So right after that, I went into another doctor. It was probably my 9th or 10th doctor. And once again, they told me my insurance wasn't accepted and I just couldn't handle it anymore. And I just sat there and cried. So the very sweet PA was like, okay, let me see what I can do. And he took my blood work and, let me know that everything came back pretty normal, with a few deficiencies in vitamins and things of that nature. But he did tell me to get my thyroid checked and then to find a rheumatologist, who was a specialist in things like lupus and to get tested for that. So that was a whole other mindset change for me, coming to terms with both of those options being a potential diagnosis. I went to get my thyroid checked and they did find a small nodule, but it was nothing to be too concerned for. And then the rheumatologist told me that I do not have lupus. So both those things came back negative, which I was like, okay, I have some answers, but I still don't know what's really going on. It was a little bit of a light at the end of the tunnel, but finally 2 or 3 months later is when I started to get the answers I really needed.
Right. Oh my God. I was actually just,
that was a lot.
I was just sort of living through everything you just shared frame by frame, right? Okay. And we've not known each other for too long, but just by speaking with you, for our discovery call and then again yesterday, I could tell that I could see some overlaps in our personalities because I'm the same. Like if something bothers me, I need it looked at now.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And I expect the other person to be a little bit more empathetic and ask me how I'm feeling. Right. It can't just be, I'm sorry you feel that way. Here's your injection and you can be, on your way home now. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure that that didn't help the situation. And I'm so sorry that you even felt that way. Right.
Well, it happens. I'm strong enough to accept it and not have any hasteful feelings because everything worked out eventually.
Right.
But I hope that other people who might have the same journey that I do don't go through at least that portion of it.
Right. And so you said that your mom was naturally parents are obviously so empathetic when it comes to their kids, but also generally they are, they understand that, okay, my kid is always has always been known for having amazing hair, and so this must be like a major hit to her. But what about other people in your close circle, your boyfriend, your friends? How did they respond?
Sure. I've always appreciated the people in my life, but I never really did as much until this all started to happen. I will say at first I kept all of this pretty close to heart. I really didn't even tell certain immediate members of my family. I'm one of four kids and I think only my parents knew. I don't think I told any of my siblings in the first few weeks because I'm the type of person who doesn't want to bog people down with my problems, especially if I don't have an answer or a solution to them. But word got out and I finally did start opening up and I was met with full support and nothing but love from my family. In addition to my family, my parents, I swear to God, my boyfriend deserves a freaking medal. We were only dating like maybe 6 or 7 months when this first started,
right?
Which is, it's pretty fresh for any relationship. So, he stuck with me through every bad appointment, through every new centimeter of hair loss, through every single breakdown that I was having. He'll tell you that it wasn't a big deal and he was just happy he could be there for me. But, when you're that young in a relationship, your inner pressure to keep everything like sexy and attractive and optimistic and uplifting, that was pushed on me so hard. But all those things I wasn't feeling. I wasn't feeling sexy. I wasn't feeling attractive. I wasn't motivated to go out and have date nights and everything. So, he was my rock through it then. He's continued to stay my rock through it now. I could cry talking about him. Then when I started to tell my friends, just because I was like, does anybody understand what's going on? I will say the one friend I did truly open to, her name's Brielle. She's a physician's assistant as well. So I swear if I have like a burp that sounded weird, I call her and I'm like, Brielle, something's wrong. So of course I turned to her and I was like, Brielle, I don't know what's going on. And she was extremely helpful, just at least to have somebody who was in the medical field have that empathy for me.
Yep.
You know, she didn't specialize in this stuff, but she could at least give me some answers, or, you know, if I had questions, she would clarify things for me. So she was great. And then once I opened up to all my other friends, they were, of course, nothing but supportive.
Mm-hmm.
After I posted about my journey, like you said, with all my IGTVs, I really was blown away with the response from everybody. Whether I knew them or I didn't know them, they would just happen to follow me, or maybe we had mutual friends. I was answering messages and comments for days, which was just, it was so overwhelming. But, you know, with every great support comes great resistance. So I did have one troll.
There's always one of those.
A private profile to DM me and saying things like, how dare I try to position myself as a voice for those with alopecia, especially when my case was less severe than others. And I took a step back and I'm like, did I? I mean, when I posted about my journey, I wasn't trying to be like, I have alopecia, nobody else does.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I am the voice of the people. Like, I was just sharing what was going on with me in the hopes that anybody else that I knew or didn't know or just happened to come across it would be like, oh my gosh, I'm not alone. But, you know, I'm, like I said, I'm strong enough to handle a lot of things. I come from a very vocal and loud Irish Catholic family from mm-hmm. Boston. So sticks and stones to us.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, it's funny when you put yourself out there like that and people still choose to find a problem with it. So I really honestly, I just wish them well. And I was like, I'm sorry that you too are also going through this. And if I came across that way, I absolutely did not mean it. And, you know, I just kill them with kindness kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it subsided. But other than that, that was my only negative experience.
I think, one, putting yourself out there, you really didn't have to, but you did. You chose to because you felt like, okay, maybe there are other people out there, especially because you mentioned, I remember you mentioned that you did not have a clue about what it was, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you didn't necessarily have, outside of your close circle of support, you didn't really know if there are other people out there you could speak with. So I think that was a very good first step, and you were very intentional about it. You were not self-serving. You were doing this to help other people, right? And there's mm-hmm. always a negative Nancy.
Always
with a private profile, always with zero posts.
Yep. Like,
okay.
It doesn't change. It doesn't,
yeah.
But
if the ratio doesn't make sense, the ratio of posts to followers to following, I'm just like, you know what? I'm not even going to bother.
I know.
So
my heart just goes out to those people who do feel like they need to create those fake profiles in order to share hate.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I can do is just wish them well and wish them love.
Yep. And you were very gracious.
Mm-hmm.
So I do remember that, you know, I do remember this IGTV video, and I think you released, it was almost a series. So you had part one, part two, part three.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I remember that I checked the date and it was May 14th, 2019, which was your part one of sharing this journey. And
yeah.
I remember it very distinctly because I personally went into a state of shock when I saw that, you know, you broke down in front of the camera, and it was really a very vulnerable moment for you. And I was particularly shocked because I think, like I mentioned in the beginning, I'm, as a follower, as someone who follows you on Instagram, I'm very used to seeing you perky, full of life, funny, always poking fun at herself, you know? And it was gut-wrenching for me. I wept as I watched that video. I wept. And even as I talk about it, oh my God, I don't want to cry. Even as I, like, talk about it, oh my God. Even as I talk about it now, you know, because I think about it, and every time I think about it, it makes me feel like I wish I could do anything and I could help and I could just be, you know, part of that support system if I could do anything at my end. But what prompted you to share such a vulnerable side of yourself on such a public portal, you know? What was, I mean, you said, I know you talked about the response and everything, but Did you know what you were getting into? Because like you said, there's always two sides of the coin. It could swing either way. You could either get an overwhelming response, and then, you could either get a very negative response like the one you mentioned, and I'm glad that it was only one. But what prompted you to just sort of put yourself out there like that?
Sure. Well, first of all, I'm sorry that it made you so emotional. I did not mean for that to happen with that video. And you said you wish you could do something, then you're definitely doing something right now. So I truly appreciate it. My page, I try to just, like you said, make fun of myself, kind of be, if it's just 30 seconds of laughter or comedy or whatever it is, or fellow weirdos just being like, you know what, I'm not alone. Because I know life is very serious and social media, there's a lot of pressure. So I kind of just, I'm like, you know what? I'll just be the clown for everybody. I'll be the jester. It wasn't until after I found a potential answer to my prayers that I started and decided to document the journey. I kind of wish that I started it since day one so people could see, those terrible doctor visits that I went through and all the emotions that come on with the onset. But I think when I first saw the spot and I saw how much it was growing and I was trying to do research, I was like, I don't know anybody else who has gone through this. Nobody in my inner circle, nobody that I follow. So I took my phone and I just started shooting. I'm typically an organized person, working in social media, we have to be and we have a plan. But for this, I was just like, you know what? Let's just wing it. Let's see what happens. And if I just keep them for personal records, so be it. After shooting, I was just like, this is powerful because, like I said, nobody else has put something out there like this that I had seen. So I just figured if I can be a voice of hope for anybody, then just why not try? So I just kind of gathered all my stuff as soon as I was done shooting for the first few months. And then I was like, all right, let's just put it out there and see what happens. I knew I could handle any negative comments that came my way. So I figured that the positives outweighed the negatives there and just
I
said,
think
screw it, let's do it.
it's like part of the job, especially when you're a social media manager. You're constantly responding to all these negative responses, not necessarily for yourself, but for your client, for the company that you're working for. So we're very armed with sort of that toolkit to deal with all
Very
that.
true.
Yeah, exactly. So now, as part of this IGTV video, I remember, and I'm not sure if it was in series in part one or two. I think it was in part one. You mentioned that you met someone at a local cosmetic wellness center in Boston, almost by accident, who then went on to give you a helpful medical lead for seeking treatment. Can you talk a little bit about that conversation and what happened?
Sure. You're very nice to put it the way that you did. It's okay. I was getting Botox. I am not ashamed.
Absolutely, as you shouldn't be.
So I go to my friends. They're amazing. It's a company called LexRx. It's in Boston. So I was just getting my routine treatments. They ask any recent changes in your medical history. And I was like, I know this has nothing to do with my forehead wrinkles, but I have a huge gap of hair in my head. I'm very good friends with the girl, so I'm very open, very honest. And it just so happened as I was describing this, I mean, the walls within their offices are, I believe they're split through like very heavyweight curtains. So this lady came out when I was done getting mine, and she was like, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to eavesdrop or try to overhear, but I heard what you were saying about your hair, and I went through the same thing about 10 years ago. I think she was maybe like mid 30s, early 40s, and stunning woman with like ounces and ounces of beautiful hair. And she's like, I went through the same thing. And I'm like, first of all, I would have no idea because your hair is so luscious and wonderful. But she's like, I went and I saw these doctors in New York. And I was like, well, that's perfect. That's where I live. We just both happened to be in Boston at that time. And she gave me their information. And it's like my guardian angels finally woke up and said, oh, sorry, we've been sleeping this whole time, but here's finally an answer. So I called them. I made the first appointment I could, and then the rest of my journey began.
And so, Sydney, when the lady at the clinic, when she recommended this new place for treatment. And she said that, it changed her life. And, that must have meant something to you, because one, especially because, you did not have a good experience with your prior medical appointments and they were very impersonal. And then someone comes out of the blue and tells you that they had a very similar experience at the same age in the same city. And so what kind of emotions did that evoke?
Hope. That's the best word that I can use to describe it. I mean, when you're going through something and time after time, you're just not getting any answers. Just, that's the one thing that you start to lose. You're just like, I'm going to be that rare case that nobody can figure out what's going on. So I swear, like as soon as I felt that feeling and I got that information from her, I typed those numbers so fast in my phone, faster than I called any crush in high school when they actually submitted to giving me their phone numbers. So yeah, I grabbed the first appointment I could. I crossed my fingers. I recorded that first video, and then I just held on to that emotion as tight as I could.
Right. And you also, I know that you've talked about this before, but you've referred to this entire sort of hair loss phenomenon, especially for women, being a voodoo topic of sorts, and that it's relatively easier, or maybe like different, not even easier, like it's different for men, and especially because it's not so stigmatized when it happens to men, right? So, can you share your thoughts on this topic of the pressure women are facing 24/7 to look perfect, especially in this social media driven world, and why alopecia affects them differently.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this always it's hard because I don't want to say that men don't feel the same type of emotions when they experience hair loss, because hair loss is hair loss. Identity loss is identity loss. It doesn't matter what gender, age, whatever you are. Like anytime that you lose a piece of yourself, it's disheartening. It's hard. It's hard to go through. But I mean, I don't want to generalize it, but say, bald men are at least, to me and at that time, were are far more culturally accepted than bald women, right? I mean, I love to see, and maybe it's just because I finally opened my eyes more to the power of bald women and how much more they were prevalent. But for some reason, when a woman doesn't have hair or she has hair loss, it's like we should keep it to ourselves and try to hide that, where men can kind of just shave their heads and everybody's like, oh, cool, he's just like a cool bald man. But like I said before, I mean, my whole life was just about my hair and getting compliments on it and, oh, I wish I had it. So when I felt like I was losing it, I felt like I was losing my biggest value and my biggest asset, which what was what made me and made me feel sexy or attractive. I kind of was like, if I don't have my hair, what do I have? So I think if you see a bald man, you don't, like I said, you don't really think much of it. But if you see a bald woman, you're like, oh, she must be so strong and brave. And oh, I wonder what's wrong. But to be honest, there's also just a lot of women out there who are choosing to be bald. And they're just like, no, it's because I look freaking hot bald. And I wish I had the confidence that a lot of these women do. I'm, like I said, I'm strong, but these women are phenomenal. And whether it is something that caused them to be that way or not, and they just choose to rock it, I mean, the more power to them. And I think we need more women like that in the world. I do, through this journey, I met one girl, her name's Christy. She's absolutely phenomenal. I actually met her because when I posted about that, we had a couple of mutual friends who introduced us, and she has complete hair loss. And she's very open about her journey. She actually just got into the Sports Illustrated Swim Search top six, and she shot in the magazine because she's so stunning. Her energy is just amazing, and she's so open about it. And she honestly just inspires me with how beautiful and strong she is about this. And her mission is literally to make bald women a more widely accepted cultural thing. So I am standing right there next to her and any other bald women who are proud enough to be the way that they are.
Right. I completely agree with you. I think for, women that I've known in my life who are dealing with this condition, who did end up, because I believe there are different types of alopecia, and they had the more sort of universal kind. And I remember with those who did choose to be in public bald, that the one question that they often got was, why don't you just wear a wig? You know, just like there are so many options, you have to look at it the positive way. You know, you can try all these different wigs, which the rest of us, you know, we either need to braid our hair. And I'm like, that is your concern? Like, you think braiding your hair to put a wig on is a struggle? And I was so offended. And I was pretty young. I think I was maybe 13 or 14. And I just felt like it's so trivialized by people who don't necessarily have it and they don't necessarily understand what it feels like, but they consider that they have the right to comment. And I think it's not just about, okay, I'm bald and I have to deal with this, but also the fact that people assume they can just walk by and drop some knowledge bombs and expect you to take them. I think that's crazy. Nobody expects a man to wear a wig. Like, if men have a balding pattern, they have a balding pattern. And they either opt for, yes, I know several men who've opted for a hair transplant. But one, not everyone is financially in a position to seek that level of treatment. And second, I think life would be so much easier if people stopped assuming that everyone else is, you know, who's dealing with this condition is looking for advice, free advice.
Exactly.
So.
Yes, 100%. And like you said, it is very expensive. I mean, I'll talk about it in a minute, but my treatments were costing me upwards of $300 to $400 a month.
That is a lot. That is a lot. All right. So I know you talked about you met Christy, right? Christy and so, did you ever seek advice from Christy or maybe from a community of other individuals who were going through the same experience during this time?
I think Christy kind of just became somewhat of a North Star for me. I honestly just asked her and annoyed her with every question that I had. And we just had a good time just sharing our stories of similarity. Like I said, she has complete hair loss, but her journey started similar to mine. But I mean, I wish I was connected more with more women who were going through something similar. Because you know there's strength in numbers, and I think that there's something that we can all learn from each other, no matter if it's something that's emotional, physical, or some sort of mental development. So if anybody is listening and they want to become friends and share stories, please DM me. I'm on there 24/7.
100%. And Sydney, actually, now that we're talking about it, where can they find you?
I am an Instagram freak at Sydney Weymouth, SydneyWeymouth. Sydney, like Australia. And some people still ask me how to spell that. So I am on TikTok, but I don't want to advertise that. And then if they want to email me, it's just my first name dot my last name at gmail.com.
Thank you. I am sure that folks out there who are listening would definitely, and I think they should because you firsthand experienced it and you took all these logical steps and you can hopefully point them in the right direction.
Hopefully.
Right. So now, referencing to your video series again, I remember that you talked about not feeling like yourself because of what you were experiencing at the time and still are, that you had low energy levels and you were not really wanting to work out or be active. And I know that you love exercising, so that was a huge shift. And you avoided going to beauty salons for to get a haircut. And you know, so can you share a little bit about what you were going through at the time and how was it affecting your mental health?
Yeah, for sure. I think the mental health aspect of this is definitely harder to talk about, but I'm glad to do it myself. So yeah, I was always an active person. I mean, my whole life I danced, I cheered, I did track. My mom cut me from the volleyball team before I could even do it, but you know, at least I attempted it. But you know, I was always going to the gym or trying a different workout class or something like that. And once this all started, I just my energy levels were low for a couple reasons, I think. I mean, I'm not ashamed to say at first I was embarrassed. You know, like I said, this bald spot, it was at the crown of my head. That's right in the middle of everything. And the last thing I wanted to do was walk around with it and have people stare and, or assume something's wrong with me. I don't know why, but at the first onset of it, I just wasn't comfortable. And then I just lost motivation as these days went on and I wasn't finding answers. And I don't want to say I fell into a depression, but I was getting there because I was just like, there's no hope and I don't know what's wrong and nobody can tell me what's wrong. And I have all these doctors available to me, but yet nobody can pinpoint what in the world is happening to me. So, you know, it's just emotionally drained. I was stressed. My anxiety levels were to the highest. It probably strained some of my relationships. I said my boyfriend was amazing during it, but I'm sure I wasn't the easiest person with all of my breakdowns and not wanting to do things like date nights or just go out and do the normal things that you do at that time in a relationship. I really didn't even want to, like, this is going to sound gross, I didn't want to even go into the shower because I knew when I came out and I brushed my hair that I would just see that spot. So I was just wearing hats all the time. I did shower, but it just sucked to do so. And a weird part about it that you don't think about is the rest of my hair that was still there. It was growing so long that it became unattainable to manage. And I will say, she's my friend Des. I've known her since middle school, and she gave me my first haircut in her home because I was too embarrassed to go into a beauty salon. And I don't think she'll ever know how much that actually meant to me.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, these are little things that you take for granted and, you know, people don't necessarily understand that, but it's not just about losing hair. There are all these different things that start happening. It's like it's a snowball effect. It just keeps growing and growing and growing. So going back a little bit now, Sydney, you met someone at, you know, the Botox clinic, and then she shared this new piece of information with you. And further, when you went for this appointment, they confirmed that you have the condition, which is alopecia, and said that it's very, very, very common. And is usually induced by, you know, they say stress from a new lifestyle and whatnot. Were you personally experiencing anything stressful in your life at the time, if you think about it now, that may have triggered this?
Yeah, I mean, I went back and I'm like, what was happening at my life at that time? But besides my job, nothing was out of the ordinary. So I wish I had some sort of answer, but it also kind of goes to show, like, this really can just happen at any moment in your life. You know, I do have a high stress job as it is, but that it wasn't anything out of the ordinary. I mean, I'm a naturally anxious person, but there really wasn't just one moment that really triggered it.
So now moving on to your part two of the IGTV series on Instagram, you definitely seemed more lively, more jolly. I could see that you were feeling more optimistic, you know, and I'm assuming it was because of this new treatment, right? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I was definitely feeling more optimistic now that they were like, okay, this is what this is, and these are the treatments that we're going to give you, and these are the results that you can expect. And I'm like, okay, let's do this. So, I mean, as optimistic as I was, there were still definitely moments of frustration, don't get me wrong. Hair regrowth, the process of it, it's not as easy as you think. From the treatments themselves, I was getting probably 40 to 50 shots in my head every five weeks. They weren't fun. And then when hair growth did start to show, it was very short, obviously, and they stuck straight up on the top of my head. I call them my Brussels sprouts, and they would stick through like my ponytails, and just I loved like a sleek look, and for some reason they just wouldn't go down. So, you know, that moment where you're like brushing your hair and you just keep growing and then you just get so fed up with it. I had those daily. But I definitely, again, I felt much more hopeful and relaxed knowing that there was some sort of answer or solution in place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, it's dismal felicity. You are happy that it's growing, but it's also annoying in so many other ways, right? Because
that's literally a great way to put it,
it's literally, you're, it's restarting something. And, you know, for a lot of my friends who got pixie cuts or like a crew cut, they were loving it in the beginning. And then they're like, it gets to a certain length where you can't really do much with it.
Right.
Yeah, it starts to get in the way of life. No, I understand. But I do remember that you were very emotional and you wept profusely in, you know, even that second video where you were, I think, heading out for lunch or dinner or something of that sort. And you were just overwhelmed by the fact that you were finally noticing that your hair was growing back. So,
yeah, I passed myself in the mirror and I took a look and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's flopping down like normal hair. And I think that was my initial moment of, okay, like you're going to be all right. So if anybody is currently going through this journey and they're feeling that frustration, like know that those moments will come. You just have to stay the course and stay positive and just keep going. And I promise those moments are worth living for.
Absolutely. Now, for those of you who are listening, I'm sure you're also interested in probably knowing what kind of treatments Sydney was receiving and if there were any side effects, because I know those are one of the most common questions, you know. So, Sydney, can you share with us, you know, some examples of the treatments and if you experienced any side effects?
Sure. So yeah, like I said, I was getting steroid injections. This is why my friend is a doctor and I am not, because I could not tell you the official names for everything. But, you know, I was getting, like I said, 40 to 50 shots directly into my scalp, all around my head, because the issue was that my hair or my scalp was extremely inflamed and it was battling the cuticle or the follicles of my hair. Causing it to fall out. So they had to kind of calm my scalp down and then directly inject the sites of hair loss. They also gave me a few topical treatments like drops and tinctures that I put in my hair twice a day, and then a special shampoo that helped also relieve some of the itchiness. In terms of the side effects, the first month or two of treatments were definitely the roughest. I don't know if this was common for other people, but I had intense migraines. You know, I worked in a very bright window-filled building, and going into work and trying to concentrate was very difficult for me. I was very sensitive to everything, and I was still wearing hats and everything too. So everything was just very constricted. And like I said, my energy levels were also still a little low then too, because of the migraines and the treatments. So nothing too dramatic or drastic, but those were definitely the most painful side effects.
Mm-hmm. Did you have migraines? Did you get them before, or was it induced by this medicine?
I have maybe had like 3 migraines in my life before then.
Okay.
But yeah, this was definitely due to that.
I see. And how long did it take for you to see a difference? One, did you see a difference? I'm assuming yes. And then how did that make you feel, right? Because even in part 3 of your IGTV update, I could tell that you were getting better, you know. You were overwhelmed, but in a good way.
Yeah, so of course, I did see a difference. I found my first spot in September. I started these treatments at the end of November, and then it was towards the end of January or middle of February when it hit me. And I had that moment when I passed the mirror and I was like, okay, you'll be okay. So it did take a couple months for my Brussels sprouts to really sprout. But that moment is something I'll never forget. I mean, I still have the individual videos and I just watched it again last night, and you know, I'm just like, God, I remember this so vividly, that moment of elation and knowing that it's going to be fine. Like I said, I knew that I was not, my hair did not determine who I was. But like I said, when you lose a piece of it and you don't know when it's coming back, but when it finally does, there's no moment like that. I've not been married yet. I've never had kids, but that is one of the happiest moments of my life.
And I think that these experiences, and this is just my personal opinion, you know, for example, women who have carried a child. So if someone's been pregnant and they were extremely conscious of their physique and how they looked, you know, right after you give birth, it's not necessarily a time when you feel the most attractive because, you know, one, hormones, and there's a lot going through your mind and your body changes. But you can do a lot of the things to get back. But that specific period makes you feel very drained and you're not sure if you'll ever find yourself back. But then when they eventually do, they're not only elated that they were able to get back, but also the fact that they carried a human being and their body went through all that change and did something so magical. I think it changes your entire perception of your body and what's important in life and what's not. And I think to your example of, you know, losing hair and then your hair growing back, yes, you love your hair, but then there was a defining moment for you where you thought that, okay, I love my hair, but it doesn't dictate who I am as a person.
Exactly.
And there's so much more to me.
Yeah. And I'm definitely not saying that what I went through is anything close to being pregnant or motherhood, because God bless all of you. If you are a mom listening to this,
oh my God,
I have so much credit, and I give you so much credit and so much respect for you. So please do not take this as me saying that it's the same experience, because I know it is not even close.
Oh yeah, I mean, every experience is so different and it's so unique, right? And I just feel like what you went through and how it changed your perception of, you know what, this doesn't define me. My hair is not the only thing about, you know. Sydney's not just about her hair. She's so much more than that, right? So I think that is really powerful.
Yeah, and I mean, it showed me new things about myself. I hate to sound so cliche, but it did. It showed me that I'm stronger than I thought. You know, my life to this moment, it's had its moments for sure. It wasn't super easy, but I know people who have had it worse, and I was always kind of just waiting for, like, all right, what is my thing? And this was one of my things. And it just showed me that I can be strong. It taught me a lot about myself. And I decided to focus on the things about myself that I did want to define me. And I put more time and energy into, like, you know, my Instagram skits and my job and the things that I could control. So I think it gave me a new perspective in that sense.
And so now, since then, Sydney, how has the condition been? Do you have any new spots? Did you get them later? And especially, like, right now, I know you said that you're seeking treatment from a specific place and everything, and it's worked out for you. But with COVID now, with everything shut, and you're in Massachusetts right now, right, with your parents?
Yep.
So how has that panned out?
Yeah, so after the few months, I think I went for about a full year to the doctor and everything. I didn't have any new spots coming, and the ones that I did have were starting to grow back. So they were like, you know what, you don't even have to come back anymore. And I was just like, oh my God, I'm done. But at the back of my head, I was like, I'm not done. I know that this is not over for me in my life. So after about 6 weeks of them telling me that I no longer needed to return, two more spots showed up, and I think this was like May of 2019.
Right.
So I got those treated again. Those have been fine. But since the start of this, I've had three more spots show up since I came home in March. I have one right directly in the middle of my front hairline. I have another one on the side of my hairline and directly in the back. And like you said, everything's closed. The doctors that I go to see, their offices aren't open at the moment. So I've kind of just been keeping my fingers crossed and I guess happy that I can't be in public right now. I'm waiting for them to open their doors, or I'm, you know, going to start looking into places in Boston that I might be able to go to in the meantime. But I've just been kind of dealing with it as I can.
Right. And all through this intense journey of, I understand what you're going through right now, because, you know, you're, in terms of access, it's just sort of hard to get into clinics and whatnot. But all through this super intense journey of managing alopecia, and I like to say managing instead of battling, because I just feel like there's a negative connotation to, Was there a silver lining? I know you're always so playful and you're always poking fun at yourself, which is something I absolutely adore about you. And I wanted to know if there were any humorous parts to this experience.
Yeah, once I finally accepted what was going on, I just kind of went back to who I am and just poked fun at myself, like you said. I remember I never did it, but I was like, wouldn't it be funny and also kind of cruel now that I think about it, if I went into like one of my hairdresser's seats and was like, oh my God, look at what happened. Look at what you did to me. I came in here like 2 weeks ago and all of a sudden my hair just fell out, and I didn't do it. I didn't, but it was just little things like that, that I thought I could just screw around with people. But, I took a step back and said that was wrong. But I have a friend of mine, his name's Travis. He's a photographer in the city. I've known him for a long time. And, he was like, hey, I'm doing this shoot for like body positivity. And I was just like, let me be part of this. I love this.
Yeah.
And it's funny because the night before when I signed up to do it, I was like, so I have this spot on my head. I just want to let you know, because I knew this was a body positivity focus. So I was like, this is not like about my hair. And, you know, I was going to be surrounded by models and stuff like that. And I was like, I have a spot. I can cover it up. He's like, whatever you want to do. Like, he's like, this is just about embracing yourself. And the shoot was called I Embrace Me. Mm-hmm. So when I walked in the room and I just saw all the amazing people that I was going to be on the shoot with, by the way, I'm not a model by any means. Like, this was just me being like, this is something cool. Let me try it. Mm-hmm. I walked in with all these super powerful, inspiring people, and I just felt so comfortable. And Travis was pulling us for individual shoots. And I was like, I'm okay to show you this spot on my head. I was like, let's take the pictures of it. So he positioned me in such a beautiful way that my head was slightly tilted down. And then you could just see the top of my spot. You could see my full body. You could see kind of the feelings of emotion that I had on my face. And it became one of the best parts of this journey, because I was like, you know what? I do embrace me. Like, that is me. And I think it's important. I think the silver lining is literally doing just that, embracing who you are, accepting it, and then just being like, okay, like, what do we do from here? And what other parts of my life do I want to focus on? And I focused on my humor. I focused on my job. I mean, I think having a sense of humor is such an essential life skill.
Absolutely.
Not to, again, be cliche, but there's a great Mark Twain quote that says, humor is the great thing, the saving thing after all. The minute it crops up, all our harnesses yield. All our irritations and resentments flit away, and a sunny spirit takes their place. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, that's what I tried to be. I tried to be a sunny spirit, and I tried to be this thing that helps people's resentments fly away and be kind of that hope and that humorous thing. Mm-hmm. And to quote another person, Jim Carrey, who's one of my favorite people of all time.
Love.
I try to be him in every sense of the way. Mm-hmm. His quote is, my focus is to forget the pain of life, forget the pain, mock the pain, reduce it, and laugh. And that's what I was trying to do. So I'm glad that you think that my weirdness is humorous.
It makes you like 10x
so,
more attractive.
I think the silver lining was just me figuring out that there's more to me than just my hair, and mm-hmm. that people were happy to accept it and embrace it.
Yeah. All right. Well, guess what, Sydney? I know you were a little like, I'm nervous, you know, this, I don't know.
I am not a public speaker. This is why I do social media. I call myself the antisocial social media manager. I'm pretty sure I'm going to trademark that term.
Well,
I like to write and stay behind a screen, and using my voice physically and actually does not excite me whatsoever. So I'm glad that this is over.
Well, I mean, you're stuck with me for life, because this is just one of the many podcast episodes that we're going to do together.
Oh, wonderful.
You're just
okay.
Stuck. I tricked you.
Great.
So we've reached the end. I am happy, but I'm also sad, because I've enjoyed this conversation with you so much.
Same.
But before we drop off, Sydney, what advice do you have for those who've been recently either, you know, diagnosed with alopecia or have been dealing with alopecia for a couple of years or months? And what are some of the steps that they could take to manage it better?
Yeah, so the first time you asked me, you know, to think of what advice I had for everybody, typically when people come to me they ask for, you know, more actionable things like what doctors they can see, what treatments they can have, what products they can use. But I kind of wanted to finish this with more internal takeaways for people, because I think that's the hardest thing to do when this happens to you. So the first piece of advice I have is to just embrace it and accept it, because if you're in denial that you're not opening yourself up to seeking solutions, then you probably won't find them. That was the first thing that I had to do. I had to accept this was happening to me, and then I allowed myself to open myself up to solutions. The second piece of advice is educate yourself. This is, like you said, a very common condition, and there are solutions, but don't overwhelm yourself with the amount of information that comes in, but definitely get familiar with whatever it is that you're going through. My third piece of advice is just seek proper medical advice, and remember that if you are seeing a doctor that you're not comfortable with, then you don't have to stay with them. You are not stuck there. Make sure you're finding somebody that will take this journey with you and actually has some empathy for what you're going through. Fourth piece of advice is join a community or find somebody who is going through this or has gone through this that can kind of be your voice and your North Star, that you can just go back and forth with. If you're having a bad day, that you can call because they understand what you're going through. Just make sure that you're putting yourself in something that doesn't make you feel as alone. And then my last piece of advice is just have a positive outlook, and just understand and remember that your hair isn't everything. It does not define you. Whatever you're going through, if it's hair loss or anything else, it does not define you. Spend this time, of course, fixing it, but focus on the things that do matter and the things that you can control. And I think that's about it.
Thank you so much for opening up to us all about your journey, Sydney. I truly, truly admire your transparency, your ability to adapt, and your willingness to, you know, help those around you. I am sure that our listeners will seek inspiration from this episode, from your journey, and they'll reach out to their dear ones who may be grappling with something similar, check on them, you know. And amidst all the inevitable twists and turns of life, and especially during this pandemic, it's so important to hold on to hope, as it allows you to approach problems with a positive mindset. Sydney, we wish you the best, and we hope that you cross this abyss very soon. And we're here with you, and we're here for you. As always, I would like to thank everyone who took the time to tune in to this episode. I hope this inspires you to take the right steps when it comes to taking care of yourself during these uncertain times, especially. I will see you again next week. Till then, chin up. Yeah. What? Yeah. Load it.